This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. How are you all doing? نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما
إن شاء الله today we will begin from page number 65. Which is الإيمان بالقدر وبيان ما يتضمنه. الإيمان, belief, in what? In القدر. What is القدر? Divine decree. وبيان, and the clarification of, explanation of, ما يتضمنه, what it comprises. Meaning, belief in decree, in fate, divine decree, and what this belief includes, what all is part of this iman. Taqdeer, al-qadr, this is also a part of iman. What are the six pillars of iman? Iman billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir and wal qadr, as well as the decree. It's one of the pillars of faith. And even though many of us might find it difficult to understand what exactly Al-Qadr is, remember that there is no way to salvation except by believing in Al-Qadr. Because if a person does not believe in Al-Qadr, is his iman complete? Is it acceptable? No. So this is why at least we should try, at least we should make some attempt in order to understand this pillar of faith also. Because remember that every pillar of faith, does it have an effect on our actions? On the state of our heart? Of course it does. And this is the reason why we are required to believe in it. If it didn't have any impact on our lives, why were we required to believe in it? If it was really beyond our understanding, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about it? Why would He put us in hardship? So, as we study this topic today, I would like you to remove any kind of preconceived fears that you may have, that, oh, qadr, this is too complicated, this is beyond me, last time I studied about this, I didn't understand anything. No, forget about all those fears and approach this topic with an open mind and open heart, with the willingness to understand, with this willingness to increase your faith. Because remember that this is also part of faith. Now, al-qadr, taqdeer, many words that are used to refer to the same thing. What does al-qadr mean? Al-qadr literally means to estimate, right? To measure, to calculate, to plan. So al-qadr, taqdeer, is basically what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decided, what He measured, what He calculated, what He planned about every creature. This is what taqdeer is. And I mean every creature, because taqdeer does not just have to do with people. But it also has to do with ants and clouds and angels and jinn and everything. So for example, not a leaf falls except that Allah knows about it, and this information is recorded where? This knowledge is recorded in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. So for every leaf, this taqdeer has been done. That when it should grow, how much it should grow, what color it should have, which creature should eat it, or which creature should leave it, all right? And on what day, at what moment should that leaf fall? And then when it falls, where it will end up, and what will become of it? So this is all taqdeer, all the planning associated with what? With every single creature. This is taqdeer. This is al-qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ. Everything has been created according to a qadr, according to a measurement, to a decree, a planning. Likewise in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ. That we planned, we decreed about what? Every single creation, and how excellent did we do it, because He is فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ, the best planner. Now, there is another term that is used for divine decree. And what is that? Al-qada. Al-qada wal-qadr. Now, what is al-qada? Al-qada is also used for decree. But remember that when these two terms are used separately on their own, they basically imply the same thing. Allah's decree, His planning, His decision. All right? But when they're brought together somewhere, al-qadr and al-qada, then there's a slight difference. Al-qadr refers to the planning, okay? And al-qada refers to the fulfillment of that planning, the execution of that plan. So, just to give you an example, before anything is done, is a proper plan made? So, for example, a building has to be constructed. Will a plan be made? To what detail? Every single detail, right? Even as much as where the water pipes will be and where the gas lines will be and where the electricity will be, everything is planned. Correct? Everything is put on paper and all those plans have to be approved. So you can understand that this is like the taqdeer. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned from beginning to ending of every single creation. Just imagine how detailed, how intricate that planning is. And then when the time comes, that decree is implemented. It is carried out. Okay? So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decided, He had planned for every single one of us that is present right now in this room, that on this day, at this time, we should be here. This was what? His planning, His decree. So even if we wanted to be somewhere else, we could not be somewhere else because He had decided that we should be here. All right? Now, as this is being done, as we are sitting in this room, and as we are doing what we're doing, this is what His qada. This is the fulfillment of that decree. You understand? Now, inshallah, the differences we will learn as we study the book. One thing before we study the details of Al-Qadr, remember that if you want to understand what Al-Qadr is, what divine decree is, you can understand this as simply Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew from before as to what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, when it was going to happen. Alright? This is all Allah's knowledge. And with respect to Allah's knowledge, what do we learn in Ayatul Kursi? وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ. So this knowledge is what? His secret. He has kept it with Himself. And He has not disclosed this to His creation. And this is the reason why excessive questioning concerning this matter is something that is disliked. There is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this knowledge to Himself. And no matter how much we delve into this, we can only know as much as Allah allows us to find out about. As much as He allows us to know. As much as He allows us to understand. So while we will do our best to understand Al-Qadr, Al-Qada, we have to acknowledge our limitations. Alright? We have to acknowledge our limitations. So what is Iman bil Qadr? وَتُؤْمِنُ and it believes who الْفِرْقَةُ النَّاجِيَةُ the saved sect. And who is the saved sect? أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah. What do they believe in? They also believe in bil Qadri. In the divine decree. خَيْرِهِ it's good. وَشَرِّهِ and it's evil. Meaning the good of it and the evil of it. What does it mean by this? That part of Iman is to believe in divine decree. That everything happens according to Allah's planning, His decree. And He knew about it. He knew about it from before. And we believe in Al-Qadr Khayrihi wa Sharrihi, the good of it and the evil of it. What does it mean by this? The thing is that in this life, in this world, we see certain things which we find good and other things which we don't find to be good. Some things that happen in our lives, we find them to be khayr, and other things that happen in our lives, we find them to be shar. Right? So, Khayrihi wa Sharrihi, the good of it and the evil of it, is basically with respect to people, with respect to the creation. Okay? Because some things we find good and other things we find bad. Some things suit our nature. They please us. They make us happy. They bring us relief. They bring us happiness. And other things, what do they bring us? Discomfort, pain, hardship, right? So remember that the evil, it is in relation to what is measured for us. It is in relation to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He decrees, it is good. Because everything that Allah creates, and everything that Allah allows, and everything that Allah decrees, it is good. It is for a good purpose. It is for a good outcome. Even though from the surface, it appears to be bad. Alright? So for example, in the Quran we learn, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. Fasad, corruption. It has spread all over, on land and on sea. Is it true? Yes. There is evil everywhere. Okay. So, why is it there? Because Allah decreed. Allah allowed it. Now, apparently it seems like Allah decreed for something evil to be there. For something evil to affect us. But there is a reason. And that reason is good. There is an outcome of this. And that outcome is good. And what is that? Continue reading the ayah. Bima kasabat aydin nas. Because of what people have done. Liyudhiqahum ba'dha alladhi amilu. So that they can taste the consequences of some of the actions that they have committed. Why? La'allahum yarji'un. So that they would return. They would realize what they're doing and they would repent. So apparently fasad, very evil. Allah decreed it, yes. But it is shar for who? For us. Why? Because of what we have done. Does it have a good outcome? Does it have a good result? Yes. And what is that? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ People will realize what they're doing. If we didn't see the consequences of our actions, then what would happen? What would happen? How much we would harm ourselves? I'm sure you're familiar with that video in which a child is shown that how she doesn't suffer from pain. She doesn't feel pain at all. And how the parents figured that out was that once, when the child was really young, she bit her father's finger so hard that the father had to pull out the finger out of the mouth, and with that even the tooth came out. Just imagine how deep the teeth went. And the child didn't cry. Imagine a baby, teeth are out, and the child is not feeling any pain. And now because of that reason, this poor child hurts herself all over. And so she's covered with so much protective gear constantly because she doesn't feel pain. And as a result, she'll have, you know, her skin is wounded, her bones will break. She doesn't feel pain. Now, pain on the surface, evil. Allah decreed it. Allah allowed it to happen. But is there a good reason behind it? Yes. Is there a good outcome? Yes. So we believe in decree. That everything that happens, happens according to Allah's decree. He allowed it. This is why it is happening. خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ The good of it and the evil of it. وَالْإِيمَانُ And iman بِالْقَدَرِ In the divine decree, he says it is عَلَى دَرَجَتَيْنِ It is based on two levels. So there are basically two levels to belief in al-qadr. And كُلُّ دَرَجَةٍ Every darajah, every level, تَتَضَمَّنُ It comprises, it includes شَيْئَيْن of two things, two matters. So basically, belief in al-qadr, it is basically of two levels. And each of these two levels includes two things, two matters. So how many matters is it? Four. How many things is it? Four. Okay, what are those four things that iman bil-qadr includes? تَفْصِيلُ The detail of مَرَاتِبِ الْقَدْرِ Of the levels of al-qadr. Over here, they're called مَرَاتِب and earlier, دَرَجَتَيْن. So the levels of qadr, the مَرَاتِب of qadr, same thing. الدَّرَجَةُ الْأُولَى The first level, وَمَا تَتَضَمَّنُهُ And that which it comprises of, meaning what it includes. So what is the first level? He says, فَالدَّرَجَةُ الْأُولَى So the first level, It is al-imanu, to believe, bi anna Allah ta'ala, that indeed Allah the Exalted, alima, He knows. Ma, what, al-khalqu, the creation, amilun, are going to do. Allah knows what the creation is going to do. How does He know? بِعِلْمِهِ, because of His knowledge, الْقَدِيمِ, the ancient. الْقَدِيمِ is what? That which is old, meaning that which has always been there. Okay, and الْقَدِيمِ is basically used for something that does not have a beginning point, meaning it's old, always been there forever. So, الْإِيمَانُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَلِمَ مَا الْخَلْقُ عَامِلُونَ بِعِلْمِهِ الْقَدِيمِ. This faith that Allah already knows what the creation, what the people, what the ants, what the birds are going to do. Why does He know? How does He know? Because of His knowledge. That is, because of His prior knowledge. Because of His established knowledge. Which knowledge? الَّذِي which? Huwa, He is, mawsufun, described, bihi, with it, azalan, since forever, wa abadan, and for always. This is the description of His knowledge. That what kind of knowledge does He possess? He is described with this knowledge. He possesses ilm. Since when? Since azal. Meaning since the beginning, since forever. Wa abadan, and for always. What does that mean? That His knowledge is complete and it is absolute and it is all-inclusive. So the first matter, the first point, the first daraja of Iman bil-Qadr is al-ilm, knowledge. Whose knowledge? Allah's knowledge. This faith that Allah has all knowledge. He is aware of everything. Whatever that has happened, whatever that is happening, and whatever that will happen, who knows about it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Now think about it. What's happening right now? This is taqdeer. We are learning about the events of today. When? Today. But Allah knew about these events from when? From before. Because future, past, present, this restriction of time, who is affected by it? We are. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is above this restriction of time. For Him, everything is the same. Past, present, and future. You understand? And this is the reason why we say that if something's happening right now, Allah knew about it. If something is to happen in the future, and we're wondering what's going to happen, what do we say? Allah knows best. Allah knows what will happen. Allah knows if I will be able to go. Allah knows if such and such will ever happen. Right? Why? Because Allah's knowledge is absolute. It is complete. This is the first daraja of Iman bil Qadr. That Allah's knowledge is complete and it is absolute. In the Quran, Allah says, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Allah has encompassed everything in knowledge. Now think about it. Should Allah know about everything? Past, present, and future? Of course. Is this not something that is necessitated by Lordship? That if He is the Creator, and if He is the Lord, should He not know about everything? Of course. If He is the Judge, if He is the one with absolute power, should He not know about everything? Of course. Now, for example, people, do they possess all knowledge? No. We learn about things. Okay. Why? Because somebody told us. We read it somewhere. And based on the little knowledge that we have collected, we make our judgment. But our judgment, could it be false? Could it be wrong? Of course. Don't we hear about these amazing cases where a person was in prison for life? He served 40 years in jail, and then it was proven that he was innocent. We hear about these things, right? Now, when they sentenced him to life in prison, that was according to the best of their knowledge. But what a big mistake. No matter what compensation they give him, will it ever make up for the life that he lost?
No.
Never. So, someone who is in a position of authority, should they have knowledge? Of course. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord, the one deserving of worship, the one who will judge the eternity of every creature, think about it. Should he not know? Of course. So what is difficult about this to understand or to believe in? أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ The one who created, should he not know? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ And Allah's knowledge, how is it? الَّذِي هُوَ مَوْصُوفٌ بِهِ أَزَلًا وَأَبَدًا He is always attributed with this knowledge, since, always, and forever. What does this mean? That he always had knowledge and he will always have knowledge. He always had knowledge, meaning he is above any ignorance. You understand? He's free from ignorance. We did not know about certain matters yesterday or last year or the year before that. We were ignorant of them. And then we came to know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above this weakness. He had knowledge, azalan, since forever. And wa abadan, and for always. Meaning, he is above any forgetfulness also. What happens to us? We learn about something, we study it, we take a test, we write an assignment, we also get our marks and our certificate, and then if we're questioned about it, we have forgotten. We say, please wait, let me check my book. Huh? So, this is why Musa alayhi salam said, لا يضل ربي ولا ينسى. He does not forget. He is not overtaken by forgetfulness. وَعَلِمَ And he knows, جَمِيعَ Entire, أَحْوَالِهِمْ Their conditions. Meaning the entire creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about their conditions, about their states. What kind of conditions? مِنَ الطَّاعَاتِ Of acts of obedience, وَالْمَعَاصِي And disobedience, وَالْأَرْزَاق And provisions, وَالْآجَال And lifespans. So basically, Allah's knowledge, what does that include? Everything. The conditions of the creation. What the creation is doing. Their acts of obedience, as well as their acts of disobedience. Ta'at and ma'asi, what does that show? Their actions, right? So the actions of people, Allah knows about them. Arzaq, their provision, what they're enjoying, the food they're eating, the water they're drinking, the air that they're breathing, the sunlight that they're absorbing, that they're benefiting from. This rizq also, Allah knows about it. What all we are consuming. Wal ajal, and their lifespans. How long we are going to live. How many days, how many minutes, how many moments. Allah knows about it. So this is the first thing, the first daraja. The first shay' in the first daraja. ثُمَّ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ Then Allah wrote, فِي اللَّوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ In the لَوْحُ الْمَحْفُوظِ In the preserved tablet. What did he write in it? مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلْقِ The decrees of the creation. Which creation? The entire creation. And this is the second point in the first daraja. And what is that? Al-kitaba. What was the first? Al-ilm, knowledge. What's the second? Al-kitaba. What does kitaba mean? Writing. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about everything. And then what did He do? He wrote everything where? In the preserved tablet. The maqadir of the entire creation. What they're going to do, where they're going to live, when they're going to be born, when they're going to die. Everything. About every creation, about every creature, is recorded where? In Lawh al-Mahfuz. What is Lawh al-Mahfuz? The preserved tablet. What is it? It's a kitab, right? Elsewhere in the Quran it is called kitab. It's a book. What kind of a book is it? We don't know. Huh? It's hidden from us. And the description that we are given over here is, it is a Lawh al-Mahfuz. It is mahfuz. It is preserved. Preserved from what? Protected from what? From the hands of the creation. No person, no jinn, can go and reach it, hide it, steal it, change it, destroy it. No, it is mahfuz. It is above us. It is preserved, protected from us, from the creation. And also it is mahfuz, meaning it is preserved from any change. Meaning lawhul mahfuz, it is not changed. It is not altered. Nothing that is recorded in it is changed. I have a question for you. If something is written, why would you need to change it? Huh? Okay, you don't like it. To update it. To correct it. Huh? Like for example, you made a whole schedule. Okay? Of what? Of, for instance, your sister's wedding day. Okay? And you shared with the entire family, at this time this is going to happen, this time this is going to happen, this time this is going to happen. The hall rental is from this time to this time. You shared with the whole family, this is the schedule. And what happens? You say, oh, this is really good because the entire family brainstormed and this was put together with everybody's suggestions and keeping everything in mind. So you know what? We'll keep the schedule for the brother's wedding. Okay? But then what happens? The wedding day happens and then you see half of it, half of the planning, it was not really that great. So then when the brother's wedding comes, what do? You change it. That no, the food was at this time, it should have been at this time. The guests were supposed to arrive at this time, but they didn't. So you know what? For next time, we're going to make this change. Why is it that we bring changes in what was written? Because it wasn't perfect. It needs to be revised. It needs to be updated. It needs to be corrected. But lawh al-mahfuz is what? What does it contain? Allah's knowledge. Does that need to be updated? Never. Does it need to be revised and corrected and changed? No way. Never. But don't we learn in hadith that dua can even change the qadr? Huh? So what about that? And don't we learn in the Quran that يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ, that Allah can erase whatever He wills and He can also affirm it. What about that? Now remember that this change, it doesn't take place in the lawhul mahfuz. It's actually taking place where decree is also written. And as inshallah we will learn, the qadr is not just written in the lawh al-mahfuz, it's also written elsewhere. Like for example, the angels are given the yearly taqdir. Alright? So that is where the change happens. Okay? That is where it is erased. Like for example, when a person performs an action, it is recorded, but then it can also be erased because of what he does. You understand? In al-hasanat, yudhibna sayyi'at. Okay? Now, this entire process of this person, this is what is decreed for him. However, he will do silatul rahim, and as a result, his life will be extended. Now, this entire process is recorded in the lawhul mahfuz. Because Allah knows from before that how a person will be so close to his death. But because of the good deeds that he will do at that moment, because of that, his life will be extended. This person will be so close to some difficulty, but because of the istighfar that he will do, what will happen? That difficulty will be removed from him. All of this is recorded where? In the lawh al-mahfuz. So remember that the lawh al-mahfuz, it is preserved from any changing, because it is Allah's knowledge. So كتب الله في اللوح المحفوظ مقادير الخلق. فأول, so first, ما خلق الله, that which Allah created. The first thing that Allah created was what? القلم, the pen. قال له, He said to it, اكتب, write. قال, the pen said, ما أكتب, what should I write? قال, Allah said, اكتب ما هو كائن, write what is going to happen. إلى يوم القيامة, until the day of judgment. Meaning until the day of judgment, Qiyamatul Kubra. Whatever that is to happen, write it. Document it. So what does this show to us? The documentation and planning. Whose sunnah are they? Allah's sunnah. Because does Allah really need to have everything recorded? No. Allah knows from before and that is sufficient. Right? But Allah gave importance to writing and planning and documentation. And this shows that we should also do it. Now, we see over here that the second level of al-qadr after ilm is al-kitaba. And the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen. And Allah ordered it to write. Now, pen, what is it? Does it have ears to listen with? Does it have a mouth to speak with? Look at your pen. If you tell it to do something, can it listen to you? It cannot. Why? Because it is inanimate. It is غير عاقل. But Allah is ordering it to write, and the pen is saying, what should I write? How is that happening? Because Allah is the creator, and He can communicate with His creation. Right? This is why in the Quran we learn, فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِتِيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Allah ordered the sky and the earth to come obediently or unwillingly. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. They both said, they both communicated with Allah. So we cannot communicate, but who can communicate with them? Allah, because He created them. يَا جِبَالُ أَوِّبِي مَعْهُ وَالطَّيْرِ. Allah to all the mountains. Right? You repeat the praise that Dawood a.s. is doing. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Right? So Allah orders His creation, even though the creation may be inanimate. Does the creation respond? Yes. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِي. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. We don't understand. But Allah can talk to any of His creation, and His creation can respond to Him. فَمَا أَصَابَ الْإِنسَانَ. So whatever reaches a person, meaning whatever happens to a person right now, whatever is happening, did Allah know about it from before? Yes. Was it written? Yes. So this is why when Allah knew about it and when it was written, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ. Whatever reaches a person, لَمْ يَكُنْ, it could not, لِيُخْطِئَهُ, miss him. It could never have missed him. وَمَا أَخْطَأَهُ, and whatever missed him, لَمْ يَكُنْ, it could not, لِيُصِيبَهُ, reach him, happen to him. What does it mean? That if anything happens in our life, it was meant to happen. We could never have avoided it. And if something did not happen, it could never have happened. We could never make it happen ourselves. This is why, you know, we say like death literally seeks a person. Disease even catches a person. Right? It's amazing how three people would eat the same food, but only one person gets food poisoning. Why? Because it was meant for him, not for the other. Just the other day somebody was mentioning about how in Pakistan they've been visiting these rural areas and teaching people over there. And I mean, just the thought of it, that how can you go to such a place where it could be so dangerous for you at so many levels, you know, your health, safety, even your safety of your life and your money. How can you go? You wonder. But she doesn't have any such fear. And she's been going there for a while, and alhamdulillah, nothing has happened. When we hear about people going to, you know, Pakistan or anywhere in the world, Africa or anything, what happens? We become so afraid. Even now, if somebody goes to Dallas, right, you're afraid. There's Ebola there. But the fact is that if something is meant for you, it will find you no matter where in the world you are. And if something is not meant for you, you could be living in that place, but it will never hurt you. It will never reach you. جَفَّتِ الْأَقْلَامُ. The pens have dried up. Meaning, their ink has dried up. What was written is complete. It's dried up. Now you cannot erase it. You know, for example, on a whiteboard, you write something with a marker. Can you erase it? Yes, you can. But if you use a permanent marker, can you erase it? No. جَفَّتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَطُوِيَتْ. And it is folded up. As-suhuf, the sheets. The sheets have been folded. What does that mean? This is an expression of, basically, the matter is complete. It's done. Now you cannot go and change it. What was written is written. And the books are now put away. You cannot change. You cannot edit. So what do we learn from this? What is Al-Qadr? Allah's knowledge, what He decreed, what He recorded. And it will certainly take place. It cannot be avoided, we cannot run away from it, and we cannot change it. So, what should we do then? Submit and surrender. Accept. Sometimes we just live in our past. We smile because we remember something good that happened, and we cry because we remember something terrible that happened. Or we are daydreaming about our future. This is what we're doing. Yes.
What happens with the caution? My country was civil war there, and the people go there and look at things. And for me, I always say I have children. I don't want to put myself in a situation where my life can be in danger and then, you know, I lose my life and then you lose me.
Yeah. I mean, precaution, of course you take it. All right? But along with the precaution, you remember that nothing can reach you except if it was written for you. And precaution should not be such that because of this fear, you don't even do anything. Like, for example, if a person says that, oh, if I go out of the house, it's too cold, I'll get sick. Well, you take your precaution. And what is that? You put your jacket on, you put your hat and your mittens on, you wear your warm clothing, and then you go. You took your precaution, and then you went. But still, if you got sick, then what? Then you understand that this was my decree. This was something written for me. What do? We say, oh, you know what? If I'm meant to get sick, I'll get sick. I don't need to wear my jacket. I don't need to wear my mittens. Exactly. You tie the camel. Right? You take the precaution. And then what happens on the other end? That if we took precaution and then still something went wrong, we say, why is this happening to me? I did my best. You know, sometimes we say things like, I did istikhara. I made dua. I consulted so many people. Still this plan is not working out. What's going on? You know what's going on? Taqdeer is going on. It was never meant for you. So when a person believes in taqdeer, what's the benefit? He can never be disappointed, upset, and sad. I mean, of course, sadness is natural. But dwelling in that sadness, living in it, no, he doesn't stay there. He moves on from it. Yes, the heart hurts. Of course, those feelings are there. But you realize, you understand that there must be some wisdom behind this decree. Right? And at the same time, you don't depend on yourself too much. You don't become too proud of your abilities, of your resources, of your planning. It helps you remember Allah. This belief in taqdeer. كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى Just as Allah the Exalted has said, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Do you not know that Allah knows that which is in the sky and the earth? إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابٍ Indeed, that is in the book. Meaning everything is recorded in the book. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٍ Indeed, that is upon Allah. Very easy. Just think about it. Everything that happens, Allah knows about it. And where is this recorded? In the book. And this is easy for Allah. If we were to find out about everything that's happening, that's going on, how difficult would that be? And if we were to write down everything, how difficult would that be? How impossible would that be? You know, documentation is a very, very difficult process. Right? First of all, entering all of that information and then processing all of that information and then executing all of that information. It's so difficult. But إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ This is easy for Allah. وَقَالَ And he said, مَا أَصَابَ بِالْمُصِيبَةٍ Whatever difficulty has reached you فِي الْأَرْضِ In the earth, وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ Nor in yourselves. Meaning any kind of difficulty, trial that reaches you in the earth. So for example, an earthquake, a storm, a flood. وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ Or in your bodies. Like for example, a person gets sick, he gets a headache, he catches an infection. All of this, إِلَّا except فِي كِتَابٍ Recorded in a book, in a record, مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا Even before we initiated it. Meaning before any of this difficulty came into existence even. Meaning before even that storm came, before even that fever came in your body, Where was this? It was recorded in the book. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ Indeed, that is easy for Allah. Easy for Allah? What is easy for Allah? To record something even before it happens. Why? Because He knows about it. وَهَذَا التَّقْدِيرُ He says, and this taqdeer, التَّابِعُ It is according to لِعِلْمِهِ His knowledge, subhanahu, glorious is He. This taqdeer, which is in accordance to His knowledge, meaning whatever happens according to His knowledge, yakunu fi, it is in, it is contained in, it is recorded in, mawadi'a, other places also. Meaning here we learn that it is in the book. Which book? Lawhul Mahfuz. But it is not just recorded in the Lawhul Mahfuz. It is also recorded in other places. How is it recorded in other places? Jumlatan in general terms, وَتَفْصِيلًا, and also in specific terms. Like, for example, where else is it written? He says, فَقَدْ, then in fact, كَتَبَ, he has recorded, فِي اللَّوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ, in the preserved tablet, مَا شَاءَ, whatever he willed. Meaning, whatever Allah willed, whatever Allah wanted should happen until the Day of Judgment, recorded in the book. That's one place where everything is recorded. Another place where some things are recorded, some decrees are recorded, وَإِذَا خَلَقَ, and when he creates, جَسَدَ, body, of الجنين, of the fetus. قَبْلَ, before, نَفْخِ الرُّوحِ, blowing the soul. فِيهِ, in it, meaning when the fetus is created in the womb of the mother. Then what happens? At a certain point, the ruh is supposed to be blown into it. However, before that, what happens? بَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكًا. He sends to it an angel. And that angel, فَيُؤْمَرُ, he is ordered, بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ, with four statements. What are those four statements that the angel is ordered to record? The angel is commanded to write. فَيُقَالُ لَهُ, it is said to him, meaning the angel. اُكْتُب, write, record. رِزْقَهُ, his provision. وَأَجَلَهُ, and his lifespan. وَعَمَلَهُ, and his deeds. Three things. And what's the fourth? وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. And whether this person is going to be shaqi or sa'id. Who is shaqi? Miserable, unhappy. Someone who is going to go to hell. Aw sa'id. Who is sa'id? Happy, successful. Someone who is going to go to Jannah. So these four things are recorded. وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ, and the likes of that. So what is being mentioned over here? That taqdeer is written. Kitabah is done. Where? In Lawhul Mahfuz primarily. But not just Lawhul Mahfuz. In other places also. What are they? One example that is given over here is, after Lawhul Mahfuz, what is that? The taqdeer which is given to, which is recorded with the angel, when a person is in the womb of the mother. And this is mentioned in hadith. For example, in hadith in Bukhari, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that verily the creation of each one of you is brought together in his mother's womb for 40 days in the form of a nutfa. What is a nutfa? A drop. Meaning this is how it begins. Then he becomes an alaqa for a like period. Meaning for the next 40 days, it's an alaqa. And then a mudgha, a lump of flesh. And this is when? For the next 40 days, for a like period. And then there is sent to him the angel who is supposed to blow the soul into him. The angel brings the ruh and he's supposed to put the ruh in the fetus. And that angel is commanded to write four matters. To write down his rizq, to write down his lifespan, his actions, and whether he will be happy or unhappy. Because the angel, he asks Allah, right? He says, Ya Rabbi, this is nutfa. And then when that stage is complete, Ya Rabbi, mudgha. And then when that stage is complete, Ya Rabbi, it is now this stage. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders. If that fetus is to grow and develop into a human being, then what happens? These four matters are written. So you see, this taqdeer is written. Isn't it written? Yeah, it's written. It's recorded. With who? With that angel. So this kind of taqdeer, it is known as taqdeer umri, or al-kitabatul umri. One is kitabah, writing where? في اللوح المحفوظ. Another is kitabah where? That is umriya. And who is this with? With the angel. So at that time, when the child is in the womb, it is written, it is recorded, that the person is going to live for 41 years, 5 months, 2 days, 6 hours, 3 minutes, 58 seconds. Ajal. It's written. His rizq, he is going to eat this much food. And sometimes what happens? A person has a glass of water in his hand and he dies. He's not able to take the next sip. He dies because the next sip was not written for him. It was not meant for him. And sometimes the food is literally in your hand. You're about to put it in your mouth, but you don't put it in your mouth. You drop it. You give it away. Right? So, why? Because it was not meant for you. You were not meant to eat it. So his ajal, his rizq. What else is recorded? His amal, his deeds. What he's going to do. And وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Whether he will be miserable or happy. وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. And the likes of that. Meaning there are other places also where taqdeer is written, where kitabah is done. Like for example, another is التقدير الحولي or التقدير السنوي. And what is that? The yearly taqdeer, which is recorded with the angels, which is given to the angels when? On Laylatul Qadr. Right? Laylatul Qadr. The night of Al Qadr. What is Al Qadr? Decree. Because the angels are given the decree of what? Of the following year. Right? And then تنزل الملائكة. The angels descend with that decree to carry that out for the following year. In the Quran we learn, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Every amr that is hakim, meaning hukm has been done, it's decided, it's going to be implemented. أَمْرٌ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. A command from Allah. Right? So, angels are given the taqdeer of the servants of the following year. So, know that everything that's happening in this year, you know, from Ramadan, this was recorded. Who was going to die? Who was going to be born? You know, if a person was going to gain something or lose something, they're going to travel or not travel. They're going to learn something or forget something. They're going to make some money or lose some money, buy a car or sell a car or lose a car, get sick or get better, get healthy. All of this that's happening in this year, recorded when? Ramadan. This taqdeer was given to the angels. Another taqdeer, التقدير اليومي. The daily taqdeer, what the angels record of our deeds every day. That is also a record. What we are going to do, isn't it already written in Lawhul Mahfuz? Yes. But on a daily basis, are the angels not recording everything also? Yes. That is also a record. That is also kitabah. You understand? Our actions, our words, what we're going to do today, were they not known to Allah from before? They were. Were they not recorded in Lawhul Mahfuz? Yes. However, what do we learn? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيمٌ. As we are performing actions, as we are saying our words, the angels are recording. Now that is also a record. Yes, it is happening after we perform the deeds, but that is also a record. That is also kitabah. You understand? Okay. So, how many different places have I told you about of where kitabah is done? Four. One, Lawh al-Mahfuz. Second, Al-Kitabah al-Umriya. Third, Al-Kitabah or Taqdeer Hawli or Sanawi. And fourth, Yawmi. التقدير اليومية. فهذا التقدير, he says, so this تقدير قد كان ينكره, he used to reject it, he used to deny it. Who? غلاة القدرية. غلاة, what word comes to your mind? غلو. What is غلو? To exceed bounds. So غلاة meaning extreme, the extremists among who? The قدرية. They used to deny it. Which قدرية? قديما, of old, of the past. وَمُنْكِرُوهُ, and there are those who reject it, الْيَوْمَ, today, but قَلِيلٌ, there are few. So this taqdeer, the first daraja of al-ilm wal-kitaba, there were some people, the extreme amongst the qadariya, who used to deny it, who used to reject it. However, presently, now, and even at the time of Ibn Taymiyyah, what happened? There were only a few people who denied it. Because in the Quran, is it not mentioned that Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim? Allah knows about everything. Right? Kitabah, the fact that everything is recorded, everything is written, isn't that also clearly mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? It is. So how can a person reject? How can a person deny? So this is why the extreme amongst the Qadariya, Al-Qadariya are who? Those who reject Al-Qadr, those who deny decree. They used to deny it. However, later on, even these people, even though there aren't many deviations amongst them, they do acknowledge al-ilm wal-kitaba. What do they deny then? mashi'ah and khalq, which are the next two levels of al-qadr. So is this clear? Okay. الدرجه الثانيه, the second level, وما تتضمنه, and what it comprises, meaning what it is comprised of, what it includes. He says, واما, and as for الدرجه الثانيه, the second درجه, فهي, so it is مشيئة الله, the will of Allah, that is النافذة. What is النافذة? That which is effective, that which is implemented. So the third level is مشيئة, إرادة, Allah's will, which is carried out, which is definitely executed. It will definitely take place. وَقُدْرَتُهُ, and his power, his ability, that is الشَّامِلَة, that is all-encompassing. Meaning, his power, his ability, that encompasses everything. So there's two things being mentioned over here. And what are they? First of all, will. That Allah's will is implemented. Whatever He wants, definitely happens. If Allah does not want that something should happen, it can never take place. Alright? Mashi'ah. And then His qudra, His power, His ability. Because obviously, if He wants to do something, He can only carry it out if He has the ability. Right? So Allah, His will is absolute, always effective. Why? Because His qudra is shamila. It encompasses everything. Alright? And it happens that sometimes we want something to happen. No matter how badly we desire, it doesn't make a difference. Or no matter how much we dislike something, we avoid it, we are in denial of it, does it go away? No. Like for example, winter. As it approaches, we like to be in denial of it. Right? But no matter how much we avoid it, sooner or later it's going to come. Every day we're checking, okay, what's the forecast? Is it supposed to snow this week? Is it supposed to snow next week? You know what? If it doesn't snow this week, if it doesn't snow next week, it will eventually because it's winter. How much are we going to avoid it? Right? So Allah's mashi'ah, it is nafidha. And His qudra, it is shamila. His will affects everything. And this is related to both Allah's actions as well as the actions of people. And His power encompasses everything also. Right? And this includes also His actions as well as the actions of people. This is why we learn, لَوْ شَاءَ لَهَدَاكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. If He wanted, He could have guided everybody. Meaning, He could have forced people to be on guidance. He is able to do that. However, He did not شَاءَ. He did not will. That is why there are some people who are guided and there are other people who are not guided. So you understand? وَهُوَ الْإِيمَانُ. And it is to believe, بِأَنَّ, that indeed, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, whatever Allah wills, كَانَ, it will be. It will happen. وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ, and whatever He does not want, لَمْ يَكُنْ, it can never be. It can never happen. It can never take place. So anything that happens, happens why? Because Allah willed it. And anything that does not happen, why does it not happen? Because Allah did not will it. Allah did not allow it. Should this be the case? Logically think about it. Is this how it should be? Why? Because think about it. One is the will of Allah, and the other is our will. If it was left to us, that, oh people, whatever you want, that should happen, then what would happen in this world? Absolute chaos. Why? Because one person wants it should be sunny. Another person wants that it should be raining. Another person wants that it should be snowing. And another person wants that there should be an ice storm. And another person wants that it should be a desert. Another person wants that it should be something else, right? Think about it. If the daily timetable, class timetable, if that was left to the students, okay, you decide. Whenever you want, we'll begin the class. And whenever you want, we will end the class. Then when would we have the class? Never. You know, sometimes if a meeting has to be scheduled, and 30 people have to be consulted, and if we say, okay, whenever you say, we will have the meeting, it will not happen then. Then it is just decided, you know what, meeting has to happen at this time, you have to schedule this in your timetable. Right? So, in this is our benefit. That when Allah's will is effective, always. It doesn't matter whether we like it or not. It doesn't matter whether our will conforms to it or not. When Allah's will is effective, this is for our benefit. وَأَنَّهُ And that indeed it, مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ Whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth, مِنْ حَرَكَةٍ Of any movement. وَلَا سُكُونٍ Or any stillness. Meaning, there is nothing in the sky, there is nothing in the earth that moves or that is still. إِلَّا except بِمَشِيئَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ By the will of Allah, glorified is He. Meaning nothing moves and nothing becomes still. Except by the will of Allah. No change happens. Not even a little bit. Not even a leaf falls. Except by Allah's will. When He allows. When He wants. لَا يَكُونُ فِي مُلْكِهِ There shall not be in His dominion مَا لَا يُرِيدُ What He does not want. You understand? This entire creation of samawat wal ard, whose mulk is it? Whose dominion is it? Allah's dominion. Who owns it? Allah owns it. So whose will is implemented, is executed? His will. So there is nothing that happens except that it happens by His will. And if something does not happen, it's because Allah did not will it. لا يكون في ملكه ما لا يريد. Now over here, there is some clarification that is needed. And that is that there are many things that are happening which we as human beings even consider to be wrong. Which we consider to be terrible. That we consider to be evil. Aren't there? All over the world. Sometimes in our own lives. And this is where people wonder that if me as a human being, if I have even a little bit of mercy and I don't like that a person should suffer, that this kind of murder should ever take place, or this kind of harm should fall upon people, then if you say that Allah is supposed to be Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, then why is there such and such and such evil happening? Do we hear Muslims complaining about this? Yes. Do we hear non-Muslims complaining about this? Yes. Now remember, as I mentioned to you earlier, that irada is of two types. One is irada kawniya and the other is irada shar'iyya. Irada kawniya related to the universe. Kawni matters. Okay, the creation. So for example, someone dies, someone is born, someone is killed, someone is allowed to live, someone is, you know, their wealth is stolen. Another person, he's gifted a huge amount. Okay, some people are getting sick, others are finding cure. All of this is what? Happening according to Allah's will. Irada, mashi'a. You understand? And remember that Allah allows it to happen, He wills it to happen, but it doesn't mean that He loves it. It doesn't mean that He loves it. It will definitely happen. It's possible that He loves it, and it's possible that He hates it. He dislikes it. And He has mentioned to us what He likes, and He has also told us about what He dislikes. The other is irada shar'iyya. That which Allah has legislated, that which Allah has commanded, that which Allah has ordered people to do. And that is what Allah loves. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ What kind of irada is that? Irada shar'iyya. That the reason why Allah is commanding you with all of this is because He wishes to have mercy upon you. He likes this for you. So is this clear? Now, sin, it happens. Evil, it happens. Murder, it happens. Right? Why? Allah willed it. Allah allowed it. But it doesn't mean that Allah loves it. A person may wonder, but still, why does Allah let it happen? Why does Allah will that it should happen, even though He dislikes it? As human beings, has there ever been a situation in your life where you do something, even though you dislike it? Has it ever happened? Many times. You know, when you take your child to the doctors, and you hold your child, and your child is screaming, and you hold them, and what's happening? They're being given one injection after the other. Right? Do you like to do that to your child? Force him? Compel him? That he's screaming, he's in pain. Do you like to do that? No. Could it happen unless you allowed, unless you willed? No. Because you allowed, because you willed that your child should be given that injection. That's the only reason why it's happening, right? So your child might say, Mom, why are you doing this to me? Why are you letting this happen to me? What's the answer? It's good for you. Yes, the pain, we don't like it. However, it is good for you. So remember that anything bad, evil that Allah wills in the sense that He allows that it should occur, there is also a plus side to it. There is also a good side to it. Like for example, shirk. It's the worst evil, right? It's the greatest sin. Is there any good side to it? What is it? If there was no shirk, then how would we know what tawheed is? How would we value tawheed? How would we enjoy and taste the sweetness and pleasure of tawheed? Think about it. You know, for example, this aqidah, when you study it, it's so amazing because you understand the Quran better. Isn't it? So many things, they become clear to you. This aqidah, the way we study it, did the Prophet ﷺ teach it like this? No, he didn't. What did he teach the people? The Quran and the Sunnah, right? So this aqidah as a science, it was developed later on. Why? When there were deviations. When people said strange things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said strange things about, you know, people committing sin. They said strange things about the Quran. So what happened? Answers, refutations were brought from where? From the Quran and Sunnah. And then they were all put together and compiled together. And this beautiful, noble science came about that we study and we enjoy. So you understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He allows evil to occur, but there is a plus side to it, always. Don't think that it is evil for you, بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It is actually good for you. And this is true with regards to everything. Even Jahannam. Just think about it. If Jahannam was not this scary and not this evil, would we strive to get into Jannah? Because when you realize it's either Jannah or Jahannam, either heaven or hell, there's no third place, then even if a person is not that motivated to do good, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm doing something, it's okay, fine, never mind. But then when you think that, no, what if I go into Jahannam? I have to do something to get away from it. So that becomes a motivation for you to do good, to avoid evil. Right? So in everything evil that Allah allows, that Allah wills, there is khair in it. So لا يكون في ملكه ما لا يريد وأنه سبحانه وتعالى على كل شيء قدير. And that He, the Exalted, is over everything قدير, able. He is capable. He has قدرة, He has ability to do anything, to do everything. من الموجودات, among those things which exist, والمعدومات, and also those things that do not exist. موجودات, existing things. معدومات, non-existent things. What does it mean? That Allah has power over everything. He's not weak. He has power over everything. If something is existent, is present, it is there, does He have power over it? Yes. Can He change it? Yes. Can He change it from one state to another? Yes. Can He finish it and make it non-existent? Yes. And ma'dumat, what is ma'dumat? Non-existent. Can Allah make it exist? Yes. He can. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So He has absolute will, and He also has absolute قُدْرَ. فَمَا مِن مَخْلُوقٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So there is no creation in the earth. وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Nor in the sky. إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Except that Allah خَالِقُهُ, its creator. سُبْحَانَهُ, exalted He is. لا خالق غيره. There is no creator besides Him. ولا رب سواه. And there is no Lord besides Him. And this is the second point with regards to the الدرجة الثانية. And what is that? الخلق. Creation. So what are the four مراتب? العلم, الكتابة, الإرادة, أو مشيئة. And the fourth is الخلق, the creation. Allah knew about it. Allah recorded it. He had it written. And then, when He willed, when He wanted, He created. He brought into existence. And everything that exists, whose creation is it? Allah's creation. لا خالق غيره ولا رب سواه. There is no Lord beside Him. So the fourth matter is Al-Khalq. Allahu خالق كل شيء. Allah is the creator of everything. So anything that exists, anything, Allah is its creator. And those besides Allah, what can they make? Nothing. They cannot even come together and create a fly. Right? Whereas Allah, He can create anything that He wants. And this includes our actions also. Remember that our actions also, they are Allah's creation. What does that mean? It means that if I can move my hand, this is what? My action, right? Okay. But this action of moving my hand, when can I do it? How can I do it? Because Allah gave me, first of all, the will to move my hand. He created that will in me. And secondly, He created that ability in me to move my hand from here to here. He did not create this ability in me that I can stretch my hand, you know, from this position of mine all the way to the ceiling. You understand? So, because we are Allah's creation, and whatever we do it with the will and the ability that Allah created in us. This is why by extension, our actions are also whose creation? Allah's creation. This doesn't mean that we are not responsible. Of course we are responsible because He gave us the will. He gave us the will. With this hand, either I can write or I can hit somebody. He's given me that choice. Now what I choose to do, that's my problem. I am accountable. You understand? So, the actions also are Allah's creation. As we learn in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Then some points over here for of clarification. One and two, that لَا تَعَارُضُ. There is no contradiction بَيْنَ الْقَدَرِ وَالشَّرْعِ. Between decree and الشَّرْع. What is شَرْع? Law. قَدَر, meaning what Allah decreed, He ordered. And الشَّرْع, a shudder is what He legislated. So there is no contradiction between qadr and law, meaning both are from Allah. So for example, qadr, my action of praying, salah. Shudder, Allah ordered that I pray. He has commanded that we pray. Now a person, he should not say that, oh, Allah has not allowed me to pray, so I cannot pray. No, we cannot say that. Allah gave us the ability to pray. And He also ordered us to pray. The decree, ability to pray, and law, command to pray, both are from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, He will not order me to do something which I am not capable of. You understand? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Because this is what many people get stuck in. That if Allah wants me to be good, I'll be good. The thing is that Allah has given you the potential. He has given you the ability, the knowledge, the opportunities. You have to make use of them. Right? This is just like a person asked about taqdeer. That what is it? Explain to me. He was standing. He was told, lift up your right foot. He lifted it up. He said, now lift up your second foot. He said, I cannot. He said, this is what it is. This is what taqdeer is. What you can do, the ability that you have, the choice that you have, you are responsible for it. And what you don't have, what you cannot do, what is beyond you, you are not responsible for it. Right? So, we cannot say that, oh, Allah has ordered us. If He wants, we will do it. And if He doesn't want, we won't do it. He has ordered us and He has also given us the ability. Both are from Him. Because, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ والأمر. He created and He ordered. Didn't He? So, how can it ever be expected that Allah created us deficient and He gave us something to do that is beyond us? No, it does not make sense. You understand? So, any aspect of religion, never think that, oh, this is impossible. It's beyond us. We cannot do it. If it was beyond us, Allah would not have ordered us to do it. So, let's take responsibility. What Allah has commanded us, let's do it. وَلَا بَيْنَ. And nor is there, meaning any contradiction between تَقْدِيرِهِ, His تَقْدِير لِلْمَعَاصِي, for sins, meaning His allowing sins to occur, وَبُغْضِهِ لَهَا, and his dislike for them. Meaning, just because Allah has allowed sins to occur, it doesn't mean that He likes them. No. He dislikes them. He dislikes them. وَلَا بَيْنَ تَقْدِيرِهِ لِلْمَعَاصِي, and there is no contradiction between what? His taqdeer for sins, meaning his allowing them to occur, وَبُغْضِهِ لَهَا, and his dislike for them. Meaning, don't think it's the same thing. He allows sins and he likes them. No, no. He allows sins and he dislikes them. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ, and along with that, despite that, what? What did we learn early? That He is the one who created everything. And He is the one who has given us the ability also. Right? His ability is all-encompassing. With this, He did not leave His slaves in neglect. He did not deny them choices. Rather, He gave them choice. He ordered them to obey. And He prohibited them from certain matters. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ, with that, meaning He created them, He decided certain matters for them. فَقَدْ, then in fact, أَمَرَ الْعِبَادَ, He ordered the servants بِطَاعَتِهِ, with His obedience, وَطَاعَةِ رُسُلِهِ, and obedience to His messengers, وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ, and He forbade them from His disobedience. Meaning, He created them and He ordered them. He created them and He forbade them from doing certain things. So don't try to bring contradiction between what He created and what He legislated. He is the one who gave you this body. He is the one who put you in certain circumstances. And while knowing that, because He is the one who made you, while knowing that, He ordered you to do certain things. Like, for example, a person says, oh, but, you know, my situation is too difficult. I don't think I'm required to do sabr here. It's beyond me. It's not possible for a person in my situation to do sabr. No, Allah created you and the circumstances that you were in. And at the same time, He ordered you to do sabr at times of difficulty. Right? So, don't try to bring contradiction between these two things. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ, He created. And with that, He ordered His servants to be obedient to Him and to His messenger. And He forbade them from being disobedient. وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ, and He the Exalted, يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ, He loves those who have taqwa. وَالْمُحْسِنِينَ, and those who do ihsan. وَالْمُقْسِطِينَ, and those who are just. وَيَرْضَى, and He is pleased. عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, from those people who believe and do righteous deeds. Meaning, if it didn't make a difference whether a person did sabr or not, whether a person prayed or not, because a person says, oh, you know what, if it's decreed for me, I'll pray. If it's decreed for me, I'll do sabr. It's not up to me. It's all Allah's decision. If it was really like that, then why would He love the muttaqeen? Why would He love the muhsineen? Why would He love people who are just and fair? Why would He? Why would He love those who believe and do righteous deeds? Why? The reason why He likes them and appreciates them is because of their choices. Is because of their actions. You understand? It's because of what they are choosing to do. وَلَا يُحِبُّ الْكَافِرِينَ, and He does not like the disbelievers. وَلَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ, and He is not pleased with the people who are disobedient, who cross limits. وَلَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَى, and He does not command that which is obscene. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ, and He is not happy with kufr for His servants. وَلَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ, and He does not like fasad. And if it didn't make a difference to Him, He liked good and He also liked evil, then why would He punish the sinful? And why would He reward the obedient? So you understand? Because some people, the Qadariya, what did they say? They denied Qadr. They said, no, no, there's no Qadr. And there's another group of people, the Jabariya. They said that we are majboor. We are forced. We are compelled. If Allah decides that I should pray, I will pray. So if I'm praying, it's got nothing to do with me. Allah is making me do this. You know, my hands are being forced. I don't have a will. Alright? And if I'm not praying, that is also Allah's will. So my not praying is also something good. And this is when they said, shirk is good, and zina is good, and khamr is good, and everything is good. Because if it's happening, it's happening because Allah wants it to happen. We are just being forced. We are like puppets. We have no will. We have no choice. So that is being refuted over here that no, this is not the case. Allah created, and He gave ability, and He gave choice. And He also commanded us. He made it clear to us what He has legislated. And this is the reason why certain actions He rewards, and certain actions He punishes for them. Certain actions He commands us, and other actions He forbids them. Alright? So there is will, there is mashia, and there is also a shudder. And the difference between them has to be recognized. It has to be understood. Then he says, لَا تَنَافِيَ. There is no contradiction. بَيْنَ بَتْوِين إِثْبَاتِ الْقَدَرِ. Affirmation of decree, al-qadr, proof of qadr. وَإِسْنَادِ. And the attribution of أَفْعَالِ الْعِبَادِ. The actions of the servants. إِلَيْهِمْ to them حَقِيقَةً in reality. Meaning, on the one hand, we affirm al-qadr. That yes, nothing takes place except by Allah's will. However, what we do, the actions of the servants, whose are they? Who are they to be attributed to? The servants. حَقِيقَةً in reality. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَفْعَلُونَهَا. And indeed, they perform those actions بِاخْتِيَارِهِمْ by their choice. By our choice, we perform our actions. So what is being said over here? That Allah decrees, Allah allows, He gives permission. Okay? And then we do. We perform. Our actions, yes, by extension, they are Allah's creation. Because if He did not give us the ability, we would never have been able to perform them. However, the decision to do, the choice to do, whose is it? Whose is it? Ours. Can Allah prevent us? Yes, He can. But if He did not, He let us do it. Whose choice was it? Our choice, right? So who's responsible? We are responsible. وَأَنَّهُمْ يَفْعَلُونَهَا بِاخْتِيَارِهِمْ. So basically what is being clarified over here is that just because Allah decreed something and just because Allah allowed something and let it happen, it doesn't mean that He is forcing it on us. We don't have a choice. No. وَالْعِبَادُ, he says, and the servants, they are فَاعِلُونَ حَقِيقَةً. They are fa'ilun. They are ones who perform the actions. حَقِيقَةً in reality. They are the ones who are performing the actions. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ أَفْعَالَهُمْ. And Allah created their deeds. What does it mean? Allah created their deeds, but the real actors are who? Us, people. And Allah created the deeds. What does that mean? He gave us the ability. He gave us a choice. Okay? Just remember one thing. Allah's will, our will. Allah willed something, it will certainly occur. We willed something, it cannot occur unless and until it conforms with Allah's will. Alright? Now, whatever we do, because we are His creation, our actions are created by Him. Alright? However, our actions were performed by our will, our choice. So we do have a choice, and we are responsible for that choice. So وَالْعِبَادُ فَاعِلُونَ حَقِيقَةً وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ أَفْعَالَهُمْ. Alright? So for example, we're eating food. We're eating, right? We don't say Allah is eating. We're eating. Alright? By whose choice? Our choice. With what ability? The ability that Allah created in us. Right? We speak. We don't say Allah is speaking. We are speaking. But how? With what ability? That Allah created in us. عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Right? وَالْعَبْدُ. And the servant, هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He is the believer. وَالْكَافِرِ. And the disbeliever. وَالْبَرُّ. And the righteous. وَالْفَاجِرِ. And the sinful. وَالْمُصَلِّي. And the one who prays. وَالصَّائِمِ. And the one who fasts. What does that mean? That the actions are to be attributed to who? To the servants who perform them. The descriptions are of who? Of the slaves. Not of Allah. So for example, if a person is praying salah, what is he called? Musalli. His action of salah, yes, it is a creation of Allah, but you don't say Allah is praying. No way. A person, he will be described with iman. He will be described with kufr. He will be described with bir. He will be described with fujur. He will be described with salah. And he will be described with sawm. Alright? وَلِلْعِبَادِ And for the servants, قُدْرَةٌ Ability. Meaning they have ability. عَلَىٰ أَعْمَالِهِمْ Over their deeds. وَلَهُمْ إِرَادَةٌ And they also have a will. What do they have? Two things. قُدْرَة and إِرَادَة. Ability and will. This is when we're able to perform actions. This is the belief of Ahlus Sunnah. The Jabariyya, they said, no, we don't have any qudra, we don't have any irada. We are being forced. I'm not eating. My hand is being forced. I have no will of my own. I am being forced. And this is from where the belief of Wahdatul Wujud also came. You know, where people said that God is in me and God is in you. And everything is God. Right? So, people, they have ability and they also have will. وَاللَّهُ خَالِقُهُمْ And Allah is their creator. وَخَالِقُ And He is also the creator of قُدْرَتِهِمْ Their ability, وَإِرَادَتِهِمْ And their will. The ability that we have, the will that we have, where did we get it from? Allah created it. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى Just as Allah the Exalted has said, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَن يَسْتَقِيمُ Whoever among you wants to be on the straight path. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ What does that show? That we have a will. We have a mashi'a. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ And you cannot will إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ Unless Allah, the Lord of the worlds, He wants. Meaning, our will, it doesn't matter. It cannot be implemented. It cannot be carried out unless and until Allah wills, Allah allows. Now when Allah allows, is it necessary that He loves it? No. If it's kauni matter, like for example, you buying something. You cannot buy unless Allah wills you to buy. So He gives you the money and He lets you go to that store and He lets you pick something and He lets you have the patience to stand in line, all right, for that long and then not change your mind and then actually purchase that item. Now just because you bought it how? Your will and Allah's will together, right? But just because you bought it doesn't mean that Allah likes it? No, because it's a kauni matter. But if it's a shar'i matter, like for example, you get up, you do wudu, and you pray. Okay? You could not have stood there unless and until you willed and Allah willed. And then when you are doing this action, shar'i matter, what is it? Allah loves it. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمُ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَهَذِهِ الدَّرَجَةُ And this level من القدر of قدر Which level? Of what? إرادة and خلق إرادة meaning intention, will and خلق meaning the actualization of that decree when it's brought into existence, when it's created This درجة من القدر يكذب بها There are some people who reject it. And who are they? عَامَةُ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ The majority of the Qadariyya. The Qadariyya today, majority of them, they believe in al-ilm and kitabah. But they don't believe in mashi'ah and khalq. Because they reject qadr. الَّذِينَ سَمَّاهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Those whom the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called, he named them Majusa, the Majus of هذه الأمّة, of this Ummah. Who are the Majus? Fire worshippers. Those who believe that there are two gods, a god of good and a god of evil. So, whatever that is good in this world, it was created by who? The god of good. And whatever that is evil, it was created by who? The god of evil. All right? Now, why were the Qadariyya called Majus? Because their belief is similar. How? That they say, Allah did A, B, C, right? Allah created this and this and this. And what I am doing, it's all mine. I am doing, D, E, F. Allah's actions are separate from mine. My actions are separate from His. When I do something that has got nothing to do with Allah's will, You understand? Because they deny Allah's will. This is one extreme. And what's the other extreme? وَيَغْلُو And there are others who exaggerate. فِيهَا in it. قَوْمٌ a people مِنْ أَهْلِ الْإِثْبَاتِ among those people who do affirm. Who are they? The Jabariya. They affirm taqdeer. They believe in taqdeer. Qadariya reject taqdeer, right? They say, no, no. Do whatever you want. Allah's will doesn't matter. Alright? And the Jabariya, what do? They say, no, no. Allah's will, of course it matters. So much so that hatta salabu, they denied, they took away al-abda from the servant, qudratahu, his ability, wakhtiyarahu, and his choice. They went to the other extreme. They said, the servant, he has no ability, he has no choice. We have no will, we have no power. Everything we do is actually Allah's actions and we are not responsible. وَيُخْرِجُونَ and they remove عَنْ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ from the actions of Allah, وَأَحْكَامِهِ and His commands. The actions of Allah, what Allah does, and the ahkam of Allah, what Allah commands. What do they remove from them? حِكَمَهَا, their wisdoms, وَمَصَالِحَهَا and their benefits. Because you see, we believe that everything that Allah creates, everything that Allah orders, is there wisdom behind it? Is there a benefit to it? Yes. But the Jabariya, they said, no, no, no. Everything is the same. If you're praying, it's the same as if you're murdering someone. If you are committing zina, it's the same as you're getting married to someone. Everything is the same. Because everything that happens, what is it? They say, we are being forced. It's Allah's will. Allah wanted it to happen. Evil is like good and good is like evil. There is no difference between the two. They went to such an extreme. So the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what is their way of moderation, of staying in the middle? No, we don't deny Al-Qadr. Nothing takes place except by Allah's will. However, at the same time, Allah has given us the choice and the ability. And when we perform our actions, we are responsible. And this is the reason why Allah has ordered us to do certain things, and He has ordered us to stay away from certain other things. So alhamdulillah, today we covered this topic. Tomorrow, inshallah, we will review it, some more points, to clarify further some of the things that we studied today, inshallah. If you have any questions, please do bring them up tomorrow. Okay? Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.